people and all of that. And Viva was one of them. So I invite him over in a couple of the places. He fell in love with the ministry and with the way that children will react to the gospel, especially that we're talking about areas with non-Christian churches mainly. So that's how we met. It took us 2 months and a half, almost 3 months, and we got married. So we even have a picture from our wedding so that you get to see how really strict our church is. I was not allowed to have a wedding dress because our church believes we shouldn't be like the rest of the world. And the rest of the world has wedding dresses. So Viu was like more like a regular groom, but I had to wear a dark blouse, like a black jacket, if I remember well, and a green skirt. But it was a wedding anyway. So that was the beginning of our life together. And from there, the Lord bless us and increase the vision of the ministry, because everything was times two. I will speak. About some of the ministries that we developed in the area. It's an area where it was told to us less than 1% of people are Christians. And that makes it very hard sometimes to share Jesus. You know, we don't have places to meet with the children and share the gospel. We have the desire, but we don't have the resources. And but our main ministry, I'd say, it's the camp ministry. And one of the reasons we fell in love with this ministry is because we have the children a whole week to influence. You know, we could shape. It gives us more chances to shape the life and the heart of a child in 7 days. They get to see our behavior, our, you know, love for the Lord and for them. So that's why camp ministry, it's one of the dearest ministries to our hearts. And in the last years, the Lord really encouraged us and allow us to see enough fruits to move on. You know, from this camp ministry, some of the children, well, they grew up in the ministry. They fell in love in the ministry, and they got married in the ministry, and now they are missionaries, either in Tajikistan or India. And it's just encouraging, you know, to see the seed bringing fruits. Oh, yeah. Bio said that we will be also sharing how we got to know the Lord, so that, you know, and how he spoke to us so that we knew it's children's ministry and not other ministry. I was raised in a Christian family, too Christian for the communist times, I would say. They're so in fire for the Lord, and that brought us so many troubles. We'll get the KGB coming in the middle of night searching for Bibles. I mean, life in a communist time was not easy if you're to be a Christian, especially if you're, you know, an authentic Christian. And my father was a preacher. I mean, they're so real in not just living for Jesus, but speaking about Jesus. So I didn't want anything to do with that kind of God that, you know, would put me through such things. But when the communism fell down at the age of 20, as a student in Bucharest, and one of my colleagues invited me for a Bible study. And that is where the Lord really got my attention. He spoke to me. I gave my life to him. And because the Lord used an orphan to speak to me about his love, ever since after that, it was more about the orphans and children, and the Lord showed me the need of children, of having an eternal father. And when he spoke to me, he spoke to me to a Bible verse. And then I'll share with you the Bible verse. I'll look it up for it. And then Vio, ¿Breces isto? The verse, the Bible verse that the Lord used for me, it's in Lamentations. I know it's in the Bible. It doesn't talk to everybody from the Gospel of John, but he spoke to me through Lamentations. Patience. I'll look up for the Bible verse because I didn't know I needed it. Vrei să le zici tu până găsesc eu?
Ai căzut?
Nu. No. Da, îmi trebuie în engleză. Sorry, we talk back and forth Romanian.
I grew up in a Christian family. I'm like in the middle of the family, not the youngest, not the oldest. We are three brothers and three sisters. And even though I grew up in a Christian family, I didn't become a Christian, a believer, until I was 17. And then when I was 20, I think, I got involved in the kids ministry because of her. I mean, she was the guilty person. I had two friends, three of us, we get involved in the Christian ministry. And then in 2000, I think, I went in my first Christian camp. And in the same year, December 2000, we got married. And then I was like the driver for my father-in-law for 3 months, so I could raise money to go for a Bible institute here in Romania. So I was supposed to be in
Sumen Pican Lucraia Copii. So that he would be trained and equipped to be involved in children's ministry.
And my favorite verses are from Psalm 78, but I'll let Estera read you her favorite passage from Lamentation, and then she'll read Psalm 78, two verses.
So the Bible verse the Lord used to speak to my heart in order to get involved in the children ministry is in Lamentations 2. Verse 19, arise, cry out in the night, as the watches of the night begin. Pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord. Lift up your hands to him for the lives of your children, who faint from hunger at every street corner. And that was so powerful, I just couldn't say no to the ministry, even full-time ministry, in spite of all the challenges. And I'll read you the Bible verse the Lord used to speak to Vio for the same reason, to get moving into the children's ministry. Vrei să-l citești? Things we have heard and know. It's Psalm 78, verse 3 and 4. Things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us, we will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. So even though we are young, and sometimes young people have the tendency to be stubborn, we couldn't be that stubborn to say no to that challenge. So That was the start in the ministry, and from there it grew up. And now I'll take you back to the ministry. This is the camp ministry we're sharing about. It's just beautiful. Pastor Zach and Pastor Mark got to see a little bit of the ministry and see how the children love to learn about God, not to be entertained. I mean, somebody else could do that for them, but our call was to present a great Savior to them. And lately, we started to help in the autistic camps run for children with autism. And even though it's very challenging, it's not too much we could do. I mean, we cannot do a regular program, like 2 hours of a Bible song and a Bible verse and lesson, but the very little we give them, we pray that will bring fruits. And Vio is one of the main characters in the camps, especially with the children with autism, because he's a very active person and he likes to involve children in picking up woods and little things that will put them into action. And then there are some villages we go to teach Bible every week in some places, in some other places once a month. And this is one of the places that's where Pastor Zach and Mark came. It's the village of Tikven. This building was not up before COVID. So it started from children's ministry. The seed was planted, it grew up, and the number of kids attending, sometimes it gets up to 160 kids. And it's just beautiful to see that they praise, and they really praise the Lord with all their voice and heart, and every cell in their body shouts out to the Lord. We grow up in the ministry because we learn from so little details. Children are children. You know, like, I really like this kid. They're so poor and so dirty. They'll share, like, you know, like 13 of them will share a room in their house. But this kid picked up a little dog, and he came with the dog to listen to the gospel. So sometimes we make fun, you know, like every creature has to hear the gospel. So let that dog be. And beside the camp ministry in the villages, we also work in other villages. In some, the number of children is quite large, but there are also some other villages that only few children come. So what we do, we go and ask permission from different people that we know in the village if we could meet up in their homes with the children from their neighborhood. And this is how it starts. And this is another village, a very dear village to my heart. It's the village where my father grew up, but there's no Christian church, and nobody lived in this house for like 36 years. But those people allow us to use their house, and we meet with the children, we learn from God's word, and once in a while we do craft. Craft is a big issue here because since we came up from communism, well, in communism, you're not allowed to be creative. And many schools, even in the schools, they don't have a budget for, you know, like crafts, making crafts. So anytime we go, we have the resources, and that gets kids and parents both excited. And in some of the places, as I said, the number of children is smaller, but still it counts. And in, you know, like, for instance, in this place, they're the kids on one side and the mothers on the other side. So the mothers got to hear the Bible lessons as well. And that's very, very encouraging. In most of the places, we start with the shoebox. Vio is in charge of the shoebox project for this area, for this county. Shoebox, it's Operation Christmas Child, right? Some items first. So we have two objectives when we go in a village: to bless the poor people, but most of all to bless children in that area with the gospel. And not only in the villages, but we got accepted in some schools with the project. And to us it's just powerful to see that some of the kids, it's not that they don't care about the gift, the box, but in many places they grab the booklet. And you should just hear the conversation of two children they never heard about Christ. You know, look at this. Oh, this looks like an angel. I heard about the Jesus. Oh, he must be the one. And it's so, so powerful. And then in some of the schools, we were allowed to go on a weekly basis after that and teach the Bible. And yes, as Vio just reminded me, it's not just villages and schools, but also we got accepted in the hospitals to teach Bible, especially in the Christmas time. So there are opportunities. Every corner, we're just praying that we see the opportunities. We don't pray for opportunities, we have them. We just pray for the willingness to take advantage of them. And school ministry, it's one of the doors the Lord opened. One of the reasons they allow us to continue after the shoeboxes is because they don't have a budget to pay a psychologist. And because I got a degree in psychology, that helps as an umbrella. So the teachers and principals come to us, okay, we don't know what to do about bullying, for example. And we said, oh, no worries, we can help you with that. But we have our own resources. And our resource is the Bible, and we find in the Bible solutions for everything, and all the solution goes back to Lord Jesus. And as I said, in some of the places, some of the schools, they allow us to go on a weekly basis and teach the Bible and Bible verse and Bible songs. Not so much prayer, I have to admit. They are not very happy with the prayer, but that's okay, you know. I mean, it's a compromise we can live with. Yeah, because in the schools, as Pio said, only the Orthodox priest is allowed to pray. So, but that's all right. And on certain occasions, in the school ministry, for example, on Easter time or Christmas time, we invite the parents as well. So lots of ears get to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ in the schools. And then another ministry that developed, you know, it's like a snowball. Because some teachers, they're saying, okay, we'd like for you guys to do something with our children, but it's far away. I said, I'm sorry, we cannot come that far, but we can use Zoom. So Zoom proved to be a great tool to reach out to children. And the Lord has been using this tool that we could reach children from 23 countries, Romanian-speaking children. We get children sometimes from China. Their parents have jobs in China. They're Romanians working in China, Australia, and so on. And there are hundreds of children that get reached in this way. And then going in the same area with the Zoom, the Lord allow us to do training online with people from different countries, Romania and different countries. I was very touched that in one of the training, it was like a whole week. Every evening we'll meet for like 4 hours. And this lady was from Ukraine. So there are like bombs on the top. She was in the basement taking part in a whole week of training because she knows that the greatest need children in Ukraine have is the Lord Jesus. Yes, war is a big issue, a huge issue, but the greatest need of every nation is the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's, to us, it's very touching. People with not so many conditions, but being willing and making sacrifices to be equipped to go out and tell others about Jesus. And this is from last week, a training we could do to children workers from 9 countries. We could help them and share from our experience in the ministry, how we get in touch with children, what, how we handle the parents, how we handle the priest and everything. So it was, it felt like a zoo because they had translations going on in 9 languages. It's like feeling in like a Pentecostal church, you know, speaking in different tongues and so on. But the feedback that we got from there is just amazing, just amazing. So people from Latvia, UK, Germany, Macedonia, Serbia, and a couple of other countries all took resources, ideas. They're going back to equip their churches this time and do the ministry. And another way we help is we are invited to different conferences to motivate churches and children workers and potential children workers from there to get involved in the ministry and pay attention to God's voice for their calling. So these are just some general ideas about the ministry. And since we've been talking about the Zoom and all of that, we want to take opportunity and say a big thank you for the laptop. It's a great tool. It's a wonderful gift. It has all sorts of, you know, softwares and stuff that helps us to do a better ministry and children's ministry. So thank you. Thank you all so very much for your gifts. Now, I think we are ready for questions. Well, we should be, at least.
Hi, Leo and Estera. My name is Mark. And I'm wondering about how Estera learned English and how she speaks it so well. And Vio, and Vio, you guys don't need to see me. Vio, your testimony was great, and hearing it in English was wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mark. I started to learn from movies. Yeah, right after Revolution, we got movies into English. But then, soon after that, we had a family from the States coming as missionaries in Kumpulung. Somehow, the ministry discovered that Kumpulung is the area where is the clearest Romanian spoken. So they'll send their missionaries here for a year to learn Romanian. And then they send their missionaries in different parts of Romania. So I met this couple in my ex-church, and they're trying in the Sunday school setting to teach children something, but they only knew like 5 words in Romanian. And so one time this missionary said, he was asking his wife, how do Romanians say finger? Finger, Gretchen, finger, how do they say finger in Romanian? And it just happened that was one of the words I knew. So I told them, deget. And he said, oh, you speak English? I said, no, just a few words. Come over, help me with translation. I was honest. I didn't know English. So, but he didn't believe me. And from that day on, he invited me to translate for him even in the churches. Guess what? I had my own sermons. But I confessed that to him later on, and he realized that I didn't know English. But because of that relationship, he will come up, you know, they'll come up with pencil. Pencil, how do you say in Romanian? So I'll say the Romanian word and they will say the English word. And that's how we, you know, we all learn. I learn English and then they learn Romanian. And then we have a Rome English Bible. And anytime we go in church, we compare. So that's how I learn. And that was way, way back. I mean, those people are not even, I mean, he's with the Lord for a good number of years now. But yeah. And that's a good point, Mark, because we believe God does not invest in us in vain. So we are using our English skills, the very weak skills, and to use English as an umbrella to teach Bible, because there are many parents in this area that want their children to learn English. We offer to help for free, but all we teach them in English is Jesus loves me, God is holy, you know, all of that. So they get to learn English and from the Bible in the same time. Thank you. Yeah, there is a question.
Yeah, my name's Matt. Luke and John are up next.
Okay.
Hey, just tell me more about the camps. We do a summer camp here right near about 8 miles from our church. We minister about 750 kids a summer. Just curious how your camps, what ages, how many kids come to Christ, and how you fund that as well.
Yeah. So we have different age groups, and when we have a camp, it is different age groups. We never mix the groups because we want to be efficient. We don't get so many at once. We get about, 40 some, maximum 50 at once. Because our purpose is not the number, is the depth. So that's how we do it. The way we fund them, as a part of the price, it's paid by the children, and we try to work hard during the year. Well, he does the work part. helps
bene, dar de mâncare.
Here and there to raise some money and buy the food, because that's the most costly thing in the ministry. So that's how we fund it. And the number of children coming to the Lord, it really depends. There are times, for example, last year in one of the preteens camps, they were 12, if I'm not wrong, that came for the first time. That's our purpose. You know, if you were in the camp before, you are welcome next year with one condition, though. You have to bring a non-Christian friend. So last year in one, well, this year, actually, sorry, there are 12 new campers. They came for the first time in a Christian camp. It was the first time they got like to see a Bible. You should see their reaction. It's just precious. And seven of them wanted to trust the Lord Jesus.
Și mai sunt copii care au crescut meciul și aia care dăruiesc, știi?
Another way we fund the camps is when we started the camp ministry about 20 some years ago, some of those kids grew up, they love the Lord and they want to pay back. And every year, some of those kids that are adults now, they come to Vio and said, I want to help a child or I want to help two children. And yes, it really depends of the amount we manage to raise. That's the amount of children we'll have.
Hello, my name is Bobby.
Hi.
I was noticing you were sharing about the Orthodox priest is the one that prays at the school. So I'm just curious, like, What's the role that the Orthodox priests then play in the schools and in the community? What are the children being taught through their education there, as far as religion goes?
Yeah. Well,
chiar acum avem asta cu Paraschiva, adică singura religie ortodoxă.
Yeah, in Romania, somehow in their books, they're only Orthodox. It's the majority. It really depends from an area to another. I mean, we travel through other parts of Romania and Orthodox are not so strong, for example, in the West or in the North, where there are more community of Christians. The Orthodox don't really have too much power and they are very flexible. But in the areas like in the southern part of Romania, not just in our area, but more counties in the south, the southeast, it's where the majority of population is Orthodox, and they hold the power. The power in education department, the power in religion. One of the reasons we encounter challenges in the villages was because of the priest. They teach people that no one can read from a Bible. It's only the priest that has to read from the Bible. It makes sense because once you get to read from the Bible says salvation is free. So you will not be paying the priest. It's a business to them, all right? And for example, we are sharing with Mark and Pastor Zach in one of the places Vio went in Dragoslavele. So Vio gave out Bibles to children attending the weekly Bible club. The teacher that teaches... Yeah. And the teacher that teaches religion in the school, in most of the places, she's the wife of the Orthodox priest. So this lady asked the children... I mean, one of the boys went with the Bible in the school. So he was so exciting and reading from the Bible and all of that. And she got mad. So she asked all the children that receive a Bible from Vio to bring the Bible to school and throw it in the fire. They didn't want to, but finally she started to lower their grades. I mean, that's the kind of power they have. So, and then the parents got mad with Vio. I said, it's all because of you that our kids have lower grades anyway. So the kids brought the Bibles to be thrown into the fire. We heard about this issue and we have been praying for about 2 weeks. In the moment, she built a fire in the yard of a school. And in the moment that kids almost threw their Bibles into the fire, she fainted. She was not old. She was like 28. Nobody knew what happened. They took her to the hospital. They found her with serious lung issues. But after that, everybody in the village knew that our God is the God. But that, just to give you an idea, like in the village where we have the camps, the Orthodox priest will jump in front of the car and say, I'll cut off your legs if you show up again here. They are very different. So the teaching they give, it has to fit their greediness. And it's all a business. So we are a threat to them. But it feels good, you know. Oh, we'll have doubts if we're not a threat. And people really have fear of what the priest said. I mean, especially the older people. If you watch news today, it's a big Orthodox celebration in Romania. They are kissing a dead body. You'll be amazed how people walk on their knees.
20 de ore așteaptă.
And some of them are waiting for 20 hours in the line to kiss a dead body. I mean, they're bones. So it's the darkness. It's the darkness. I hope that answered a little bit here. Yeah.
Matt. And tell us, I know you have a son, so tell us about your family. And then also tell us about the relationship you have with the local churches. So once these children come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, then how can you direct them to different churches? And or maybe that's an area that we can be praying for you about too.
Mm-hmm. You got that right. Yeah. Yes, we do have a son. He was brought into our life for many reasons. One of the reasons is the Lord had plans with him. He almost got killed by his biological father. We adopted him. But one of the reasons we have the feeling we had to adopt him was so that we understand the heart of God. You know, we are adopted in his family. He's a great kid. He's got his baptism last year. He will turn 19 next week. It's one of our challenges with him is because of the local churches. We don't really have, there are very few churches. The one we attend right now, they love us. That's all. The teaching sometimes is fishy. The vision is below sea level. So he doesn't fit. He doesn't have, you know, not in the church, but in the places we go, he gets to have friends. And then when we start a ministry in the village, we just don't go share the gospel and run. The purpose is to plant a church there. In some places, we found a Pentecostal church that will take over. And from that moment, there will be a Pentecostal church. We are not extremely excited, but we are aware that we cannot run the whole thing, just two of us. So if they are taken care by another Christian church, that's good because it allows us to move in a different spot. So we helped them grow in the Lord for several years. But then when they grow, many of them will choose to leave the area because they are looking for a good, healthy church with good teaching. They really want to be involved in the ministry, any kind of ministry. So many of them, when they turn 18 and they go to universities, they don't go to a university just to run away from home. They hunt for a good church. That's how they pick up their universities. So many of them will go to Bucharest, not so many in Bucharest, but lots of them will go in the north where there are so many Christian churches. In Cluj, in Oradea, yeah. But yes, you're right. This is one of our main prayer requests. We need as a family, a church to have fellowship with, to, you know, somebody you could share with like we do now. And I mean, we do that in the church. We share miracles that happen in the ministry when people get saved or, you know, when a mayor gets interested in learning about God, but there's no vibration, there's no excitement. It's like, okay. and then no prayer and no support of any kind. That's, yeah, we're not happy about that, but not too much we could do, really.
Bine, și nevoia a făcut ca să avem grupul de adolescenți.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, Vio is right. On the other hand, because we started with children. And this need actually show us that, you know, we cannot let them by themselves. So when they turn into teenagers, we started to equip ourselves and ask the Lord grace to run a preteen ministry and then a teen ministry. And that's how we got into doing children and teens ministry. As a like a follow-up for them.
Apropo de că s-au pocăit în tabere, nu îi știm pe toți, dar vedem acum că mai pleacă într-o misiune, mai...
Yeah, The number of children getting saved, we never know the whole number. The heaven will reveal it. But, I mean, we do have some numbers, but there are months or different meetings where we meet children. We didn't know they trusted the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And we meet under different circumstances. Like one time, Vio was in a conference, and there is this guy traveling for like 3 hours. He said, I'm not interested in a conference. The only reason I'm here is because I want to tell Vio. I accepted the Lord Jesus one evening when he was spending with the boys in the boys' room in their pajamas and having devotional. He said, that's when I trusted the Lord. So we didn't know about that guy. That was the day that God knew we were down. And we needed to see a little fruit to keep us going. And then some other ones.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, Vio met with a friend from the Pentecostal church. And he said, boy, I met this boy. His name is Lazar. And he was all tattooed. He's been in prison. He had a different life. But 20 years later, he will attend Vio's Bible studies. And after 20 years, he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And he took his baptism. He's a faithful member in the Pentecostal church. And the pastor from the Pentecostal church wanted to see Vio. And he said, I need to share something with you, Vio. There's this member in my church, and he wants to thank you. So we don't know all of them, but we will one day.
That was one of the things that really struck me, Vio, when we left the gypsy village, was how you stopped and said hello to many of the fathers that you had taught when they were children. And if you remember, I asked you about the relationship that you had with them, and it's a great opportunity that you're still there, you're still faithful in presenting the gospel now to their children, and if you keep it up, you'll be, especially the way the gypsies, as early as they marry, you'll be doing it to a third generation in a few years.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay, Lance, can you like get a camera where they could see all of us? We're going to try to get you to see the whole body, okay? All of us that are here today, there's about 120 people here just hearing, and we're just so glad to see you all and to hear about the ministry and to get a chance for all our people to get to see you and to know your heart for the children of Romania. So is there any other questions? You have any questions for us?
Cum vrei să distribuim cadouri, da?
Are you coming to help us in the shoebox distribution?
Maybe you'll get some of our shoeboxes this year.
Well, the target for this year, it's about 10,000 shoeboxes to distribute in our county, so.
You'll be busy for a few weeks, won't you, Vio? Okay.
Hopefully not too much snow.
There you go. Well, if there's nothing else, it's about time. Why don't we pray? And if anybody here has questions that you would like to ask about Zach and my trip to visit Estera and Vio, please see me. I'd love to tell you more about some of the things we saw in... I think, this is who they are, right? They love Jesus, and they love telling people about Jesus, and it kind of radiates from them, as I think you can see. So let's pray, and then we'll say goodbye. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time that we've had together. I just thank you for the friendship that I've been able to develop. I thank you for that friendship with Vio and Estera, and... just as I think of them, when I, that I always have a smile on my face, and I always know that they are about the business of furthering your kingdom in the opportunities that they have in Romania. Father, I pray that this would be an encouragement to them, that you would brace them up, that they would feel the grace that is ours in the Lord Jesus, and that, Father, you would bless their ministry, and that even the shoebox ministry would be a means of proclaiming the gospel to many new people that have never heard of the name of Jesus or the salvation that is available in him. Would you do this for your glory and for our great joy? And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.